In the Lord's answer there in Matthew 22, he said, you're mistaken because you neither know the scriptures or the power of God. And I think that really is the crux of what we have here. We have here coming out the power of God and based on the scriptures. And I think this is really the underlining force of this next passage as we go into it.
He goes on to explain the process. In one hand, I'm glad that the foolish question was asked, and I'm glad that he took the time to answer it, because these are exactly the questions that people are asked over and over again. Okay, here is what the scripture said. He said, look at nature itself. We heard about, in the gospel meeting, about the grain of wheat that falls into the ground, so it would not abide alone. Mm-hmm. It's a natural process. You all know about planting a seed. You put a seed into the ground, and the seed would come up again in life. And God gave it a body. So you see that day in and day out. You practice that, you eat that, you live on that. Why all of a sudden now God, the very God who is able to raise that seed up and give it a body, could not do the same thing with body? But not only for the seed, because he speak about a body, different kind of body, different kind of variety. And not only that, in heaven, heavenly things, but earthly things. So he's explaining the variety of things and the reproduction of things and how God is giving that. So if God could do that in the natural creation, is he not able? After all, when Christ risen from among the dead, he had a different body. It's a body not like the body that he had before. He said, touch me. Because spirits don't have flesh and bones. He was a man. He had a body, but it's a different kind of a body that you and I have there. So again, God is able, just as we see it in nature, to do the same thing in regard to the resurrection of those who have fallen asleep in Jesus.
You might say that the first part we had, the Apostle Paul was bringing the foundation that Christ has been risen and has been raised. The second part, the highlight, is not really to prove the resurrection of Christ. But the second part of it is really to highlight what God has established from the beginning of creation, that every tree brings fruit after its own kind. That's where also there are men that will try to fight this aspect of mentality or the thought in the scripture that there will be those who will be like him. So he stops the proofing that Christ has been raised, and now he's coming to you and to me. So how is it done? In the same way it was done with the Lord Jesus. We have to understand this. Yes, he went through death to obtain us. But at the same time, now we are likened as this grain, as this wheat. So that I think what the Apostle Paul had in mind in Philippians chapter 3, to know him and the power of his resurrection, that he might enter into what Christ have experienced being raised. Of course, we're not talking about the death on the cross for sins, but to experience what Christ has experienced through the power of resurrection. And this is where now the Apostle Paul is trying to provide information and verses to bring forth that it is gonna be so. And that body will bear the image of the Heavenly One. So dear brethren, thank the Lord that the burial of the believer now is not the consequence of the wages of sin. I want the saints to understand this. Because the wages of our sins have been paid. Who took them upon himself? It's the Lord Jesus himself. So what happens with the saints when they go on the ground? The Apostle Paul is telling us exactly. They are buried in the ground to come out, as it were, as a fruit. No wonder the bride in the Song of Songs tell or invite her bridegroom, come into thy garden, my beloved. What's that thought behind it? You come to see the fruit of what he has sown. And there is a garden that is seen in the saints of God. And this is what the burial of the saints is all about, dear brethren. Let's be encouraged that the Lord is planting them in the ground, but they're going to be raised as a fruit for his glory and for his honor.
I believe a scripture in Philippians 3 is a help in this area as well. When he speaks in the third chapter, verse 20 and 21, and there he takes into account the fact that we will not all go and fall asleep and be in the ground, but we will still all be changed. Now notice the wording there in verse 20 of Philippians 3. For our citizenship, as it could read, is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change these not vile, but these mortal bodies, or these bodies of humiliation, and fashion them like unto his body of glory. Well, there we have the same question. How is that possible? How can that be done? Well, he gives us a beautiful answer. It is according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. He is going to be sovereign in his rights, and all will be brought under his domain. He'll be ahead of all things, bring everything into subjection to him. But before that power is exercised towards the unbeliever or the whole world, that same power is exercised towards the believer and for his blessing, changing him. Now just think of that. We can't explain that. I can't anyway. But that these bodies of weakness, of humiliation, he's going to change them, and in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, and fashion them like unto his body of glory. That's tremendous. But it's according to his power. He is able. And that power is also further described in Ephesians. The power, on the one hand, by which he created the world, but also that raised up Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in glory above all principality and power and every name that is named. That is where Christ is seated and has given him to the assembly, head of the assembly. That's our portion in him. And how rich, how real.
It's amazing because the same question was reversed in Ezekiel chapter 37. Well, here somebody's asking, and the Spirit of God on the hand of the Apostle Paul is answering, starting with the word fool, as Brother Campbell reminded us. In Ezekiel chapter 37, the Lord brought the Son of Man and asked him. He said, well, would these dry bones live? And this is an amazing contrast, because it's in an attempt to understand the things of God, we cannot contain God in our small, limited, feeble brains. It will be like an attempt to try to get all the waters from the ocean and put it in a small hole. Unacceptable to even think about that. In Ezekiel chapter 37, it definitely gives the breakdown of who will do this. God, in his sovereign power, would bring these dry bones. Yes, and it's a prophecy towards the nation of God, but by the way of application, we can take this and realize that God, who is sovereign, who is all-powerful, can bring these by breathing into these dry bones and bringing in it unto life. So, and that answers the portion that will come, clear the portion that will come afterwards in verse 45, and say, compare between Adam and Christ, the first man and the last man. This is amazing, because the first, verse 45 of 1 Corinthians 15, the first man Adam became a living soul, the last Adam is a quickening spirit.